I met this gentleman through Union Gospel Mission, teaching on Monday nights. He just reminded me that I saw this Charles Mitchell, this chaplain-to-be, or maybe he was already one by then. But we used to teach for 15 or 20 years on Monday nights. Another gentleman and I did that. And sort of got to know this our speaker casually. And then later, we decided to introduce, or at least the Lord led us to introduce, and Bruce Butler and Charles were very receptive to the Abiding Fathers ministry, to the curriculum. And so Charles, Bruce, and two other chaplains went through the training. So Charles is a facilitator of Abiding Fathers. He's official. I won't read all the titles because I don't have a degree in anything, so I'm not going to list his. It'll make me feel so bad to even say those. But he's got some credentials. He also is obviously the chaplain, one of the chaplains at Union Gospel Mission. He's dearly loved. He has a really incredible heart. He's obviously been, not obviously, he was homeless one time. And so he can relate to the men that are struggling with the changes and seasons in their life. And so he's dedicated to these men and to Christ being the center of their lives. After going through the Union Gospel, he fell in love. That's what you do. You get, and he got remarried. He has a stepson. And all told, he's a man of God. I've now call him a dear brother. Gotten to know him much, much better than earlier. And I'm just so pleased that he's going to come and share his testimony. Charles Mitchell, thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm grateful to be here today. Just want to give God all the glory and the praise for all that he's done for me. Thank you so much, Brother Bill, for being a facilitator with us. And not only that, I knew Bill coming to the discipleship program at Union Gospel Mission. I want to thank Pastor Butler and the staff and the donors over there for what they've done for us. When I met Bill, it was getting ready for, he was leaving, he had a book, and he was getting ready for, I think it was COVID that it was coming, but he was getting ready, and he said, hey, you know what? We all do Abiding Fathers. And I said, yeah, but of course he went on, and he gave me the book. We prayed about it and thought about it. Sooner or later, he came in. I'm so grateful and thankful, gentlemen, to be before you today. For what God has really done in my life. I can't really explain it all. I sure don't deserve it, but because he loved me. And I learned that more than anything. Mark talks about, Mark 10, 13 to 16 talks about a childlike spirit. And so I get into my testimony, account about my family, haven't been the best father in the world. I was a good provider. You know, being fatherhood, it takes time. You have to listen, and you have to really pay attention to your children. But Mark talks about 10, 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked him. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, leave the little children alone. He didn't say it like that. He said, let the little children, let them come to me. And he said, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hand on them, and he blessed them. So when I think about this, I think that we can all agree that childhood is a precious time. It's a time of relative innocence, You know, you don't have a whole lot on your plate. I don't have a whole lot on my plate. It's a time to be nurtured. It's a time to have an awe and a wonder what life can truly be. In our best moments, we as parents ought to re-enter childhood ourselves. Coming through the classes of Abiding Fathers, I thought it was going to be more for some of the disciples that I brung and this and that. But God has really dealt with me, realizing my wife died of cancer, and I remember going homeless, just lost it. I don't know about you, but I'm a real person, and I have real issues. And when that happened, I became homeless. And you know, the great part about it, I had worked for Mary Kay Cosmetics for about 20-some years, so I was fortunate enough to save money so my kids could go to college and graduate. But the bad thing about it is Charles wasn't there. And when I look back on life today, when I think about my children, I think of these words: sweet, pure, honest, trusting, humble, playful, and loving. So when I begin to understand about Abiding Fathers, y'all excuse me, but not being a good father, it hindered me in a lot of ways. And they say, woe to your adulthood. We spent our entire lives growing out of childhood and away from processing the very qualities that Jesus talks about. From the time we were little bitty kids in Sunday school, we learned these little songs. Jesus loved me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. All the children of the world, red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loved all the little children of the world. And then, of course, perhaps the first one we ever learned, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. Little ones belong to him. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I would ask you a question today. Where does it tell you so that Jesus loves all the little children? In this verse, of course, we've grown up now, so we don't sing those songs anymore, do we? Right? We've mastered the truth of those little Sunday school songs and choruses that we learned as children ourselves. And I don't know about you, I never was a troubled juvenile person, so we don't need the juvenile reminders anymore. No. Now that we're all grown up ourselves, we stand before God today. And perhaps we've forgotten the childish theme, Jesus loves me, this I know. And this doesn't have any much purpose anymore in our lives. And so we forget the little songs and perhaps the truth that contains. And when I think about the pat on my head as a little boy, we're glad that they sing those simple little songs and we move on, and maybe, and just maybe, we need to be reminded of that today. When I think about Abiding Fathers, I told Bill I was so grateful for it because our class started out, our disciples at about 35, and then it got up to 45, 50, 60. We had 85, maybe 105, 125, 130 men at one time. What it's taught me is that I really had a hard time forgiving myself. My firstborn son died in my arms at 33 years old. He never drank, he never smoked. And at that time, I had some sobriety, had 5 years of sobriety. And I remember, asking God, is there any way we can make a deal? Father, is there any way you could take me and leave my firstborn son? Please don't take him. course, you know, it didn't happen that way. Of course, Charleston died at 33 years old, and I was a believer in Jesus Christ. A song by Lionel Harris used to say, "Lord, I believe. Now, is there any way you can help my unbelief?" Not long after that, I relapsed and went back into the world, never really understanding how much God loved me and could I come back this time. And I lived under a bridge and I lost my way. I disconnected from my children. I disconnected from everybody. But it was one cold, dark night, I began to cry like a little child. I began to cry out to God and asked him, "Father, if you love me, is there any way you can help me?" And I prayed that he would take me somewhere out from under the bridge. And I'll never forget, I heard a voice that was like saying, "You need to go down to the Union Gospel Mission." But I heard the bridge and I went and said, "Lord, is there any other place I can go? Surely you have something better than that for me." No, I'm serious. You know, I don't want to go to the bridge. I don't want to go to Union Gospel Mission. And of course, God said, "Well, you need to go to the mission." And being obedient, I'm looking at when you're loving and you're praying, you're modeling, you're mentoring, you're listening. The Holy Spirit teaches us. And the discipline part is I said, man, I don't really want to go to the mission. First of all, we're going to talk about the gospel. And that's where I ended up. I graduated the program. Of course, I went back to seminary and Bible school and graduated from there. Right before I got there, they promoted me into chaplain, but I had already been working for the mission and going to school at night. And when I think about all that God did for me, I never even seen my purpose. But when he gave me another opportunity, I became grateful, I became thankful, and I stayed humble so God could use me. Never thinking that I had another chance of opportunity to make a difference in somebody else's life. It started at the Union Gospel Mission. Can you imagine that? A place where you don't want to be. But God began to work by me serving others. More highly than myself. God built my relationships back with my children, my grandbabies. I never even knew God. I prayed that God would maybe give me another chance to be married again. And I said, "Father, but I want to have a new son. I want another baby boy so I can try to be a better father this time." And so when I met my wife, Karen, she said, "Oh, no, no more babies. Preston is a miracle baby, so I don't want to even go through that again because he's a miracle baby. He shouldn't even be born." When I met Preston, he was 9. He was already going to church and being involved, never understanding how much he had went through. They got Karen and her first husband got divorced at I think it was a 10-year period. And Preston said he was torn between the two. And let me share something with you. When I met this young man, he didn't know, so I finally had to ask, you know, for, you know, the my wife, Karen, through her mom. She wasn't raised by a father or anything like that. And it seemed like everything was going against me. And so her mother and them said, well, they weren't going to come to the wedding. And so we had planned and everything and said, well, they're not going to come. We're going to accept that they're not going to come. But the power of prayer, we begin to pray. And you know, I don't know what I had done to anybody. And, but they ended up coming, and then they found out, I guess, a son-in-law that the mother never really had. And then when I asked for her, she said, well, I don't want to give you my blessings. And I said, okay. And I accepted that. And through all of that, I learned the hardships for me. My learning lesson is when I've been where God didn't work it out the way I thought. And that's where I begin to really hold on to God. John Maxwell says, a quote, life is choice driven by the choices you make. Not knowing that the choices I had made to marry Karen and nobody approved, even Preston, he said, I ain't coming. His dad said, he don't have to come. I said, well, that's cool. And so let me go a little farther to transfer. Well, everything is so different now. I never went back to believing that God wasn't going to do the impossible. I never even imagined how it was going to be like. But what I did do was keep praying, keep doing what God asked me to do. I kept abiding. The word for me, abiding, means you keep your focus no matter what. The Bible says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, Jesus, bear much fruit. And all I knew then, Bill, was to love, to give love like I've never been given before. And when I started giving the love, seemed like it was being rejected, but God was working out behind the scenes. So today, Preston, he calls me Pops. He has a dad, and I realize that I'm a blended father to him, but God has given me that opportunity to be a father again to him, and then to my other two daughters and son that's living. I never thought God would work it out the way he's worked it out. The inner peace that I have today is because a part of abiding fathers, I begin to soul search myself. I begin to look deep inside of me and see what I had left. And what I have left is that little child in me to say, God, I thank you for all you've done for me. You could have left me, but you didn't. You showed me how much you love me. And for that, I'm grateful, and I can love on these men at the Union Gospel Mission because I know God works. God can do anything but fail. I thank you so much for listening to my story. I am grateful, thankful, and humble. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm sure not where I used to be. I've been married now 5 years. Amen, somebody. Well, almost five. Me and my wife built a home in Arbor, Texas. And when I go home, I always remember what it was like to be under that bridge. And so when I see people on the street, I don't look down on people. But I ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? I don't always do what he asks me. Sometimes I miss it. But because of abiding fathers and the Union Gospel Mission, I am a chaplain that's sowing into men lives for the kingdom of God. I'm winning souls to the kingdom, and every day I love what I do because God has given me another chance to get it right. God bless you. God thank you. Amen.